Bless the Lord. Hey, if you have your Bibles, open up to Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6. Jesus said to Peter, he said, Peter, do you love me? He said, yes, Lord. He said, feed my sheep. He said, do you love me? You know, Lord. Tend my lambs. Do you love me? Tend my sheep. It's a privilege and honor to, in one sense, try to shepherd the people of God and to feed, to nourish those that God has entrusted to my care with the Word of God. And I take great delight and enjoyment in it, and I take it seriously because you guys are God's children. All right, Ephesians 6, my goal is verse 18, one verse. In fact, I'm not going to get through the whole verse. In fact, there's a certain phrase I'm not going to get past. So, but I'm going to read from verse 10. Just get a running start and get our minds going here. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the might or the strength of his might. Put on the full armor of God so that you will be able to stand firm against the schemes of the devil. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the world forces of darkness, against the spiritual forces of wickedness in heavenly places. Therefore, take up the full armor of God so that you will be able to resist in the evil day. And boy, there are days that are evil, aren't they? There are some days in our life that are evil more than others, and they just come out of blue, and there's this resistance that is empowered by God. And having done everything to stand firm, therefore, having girded your loins with truth, the belt of truth, and having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace, in addition to all, having taken up the shield of faith, which you're able to extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one, and also receive the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Now, verse 18. Praying at all times, and with all prayer and petition in the Spirit. And to this end, being on the alert with all perseverance and petition for all the saints, as well as on my behalf. I'm going to start at verse 19. As well as on my behalf, that words may be given to me in the opening of my mouth to make known with boldness the mystery of the gospel. Paul actually says, I need prayer, right? We won't get there today, right? He says, verse 18, praying at all times with all prayer and petition in the Spirit, and to this end being on the alert with all perseverance and petition for all the saints. Is that all encompassing or what? That verse, there's like six things. There's the time of prayer, all praying at all times. There's the kind of prayer, all prayer and petition. There's the manner of prayer, praying in the Spirit. There's the awareness of prayer, being on the alert. There's the persistency of prayer with all perseverance. And there's the comprehensiveness of prayer, petition for all the saints. And, of course, for the Apostle Paul himself. Now, some people say, is this part of the armor of God? Yes and no. It is not a part of the armor in the sense that there's the javelin of prayer. He doesn't say that. But what he does do is this. Every piece of armor is equipped, it is empowered, it is put on with prayer. And what Paul is doing in verse 18, he's encapsulating what he started in verse 10. He says, be strong in the Lord, in the strength of his might. Armor of God, put it on, all with prayer. That's what he's doing. Now, prayer can be intimidating for some of us. Some of us are seasoned veterans, and some of us are newcomers. And prayer, and even for some seasoned people, we're like, am I praying correctly? What am I doing? But prayer is dependency on the Holy Spirit. It's like oxygen, right? And the armor of God, as good as it is nothing without prayer. We can be armed and prayerless, and we're powerless. Now, what's the relationship between prayer and the spiritual armor? Well, as I kind of hinted to, is prayer is the means that the armor is put on. You, with all prayer, you're praying to put on the belt and the breastplate and the helmet and the shields, all with prayer. Everything is prayer. Because prayer recognizes a dependency on the Holy Spirit. Prayer is saying, I got the armor, but I need God. In one sense, prayer says, the armor says, I am putting on the Christ himself. I am putting on Christ. Put on Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh. But I need the Holy Spirit's help, don't I? Spiritual armor is not meant to be a mechanical thing that we put on. It is meant to be empowered and activated by prayer. Prayer weakens enemy forces and summons angelic hosts to the scene. It is through prayer that the enemy's place is invaded. That's what happens in prayer. Now we start marching forward, right? We start launching towards the enemy territory, so to speak. It is when reinforcements are sent and the weakened are strengthened. It is prayer that encourages the downcast and reminds us of our high heavenly calling. That's what prayer does, doesn't it? Knowledge of our position in Christ is good, but prayer enables us to live that and to move forward in the capacity of that calling. In one sense, I'm being careful here, and by the way, my prayer to God has always been, God, make me a man of prayer. Of course, if you pray that, he's going to send you problems that drive you to knees. But I want to be a man of prayer, a man of the Word of God and a man of prayer. They go hand in hand, right? If you're a man of just the word and no prayer, you're a Pharisee. Because your heart has not been touched by the ointment of prayer, so to speak. Right? Prayer is the place where all of us are meant to be. Pray at all times. We'll get to that in a second, right? And I know prayer can be challenging, right? It's hard. Sometimes I find it hard to pray. Don't you find it hard? How do you start? I mean, there's so many distractions, so many things in life that pull you away. We'll get to that, right? We'll get to that. So we're all in the same boat, right? Some of my heroes in my faith are men of prayer, men who spend hours of prayer. Like, well, I can spend 10 minutes in prayer. Hey, that's good. Okay? Anyway, what am I doing? Well, prayer is how you put on the armor of God. And sometimes we neglect prayer because we don't see things happening. We don't know if God's hearing our prayer. Ever felt that way? God, do you hear my prayer? Or we don't see what's happening in the spiritual. We don't see the long-term range of God's plan and God's working in the spiritual realm through our prayers. And he says, keep praying, keep praying, keep praying. I got reinforcements. I got things I'm doing because you're praying. Oh, and I got people praying for you that you don't know are praying for you. That to me is a blessing. You know, somebody told me yesterday they're praying for me all the time. I'm like, really? Oh, I didn't know that. That's a wonderful thing about the body of Christ. Sometimes we don't pray because we just don't understand it. So, all right, I'm going to go through 3 points. My third point is the main one, okay? I'm just going to rock through. First one is the kind of prayer. Look what he says. Look with me, verse 18. Praying, I'm going to skip to with all prayer and petition. You see that? There's all kinds of prayer. All prayer and petition. You know, God is a communicative God, isn't he? God is not a silent God. He communicates. And he's designed us to have fellowship with him. And we can have instant communication with the Father in heaven. Think about that. However high heaven is, our prayers instantly go into the throne room of God. We have an audience with our Father through prayer. Right? But he says, with all prayer and petition. Prayer is a basic word. It's prosuke in the Greek. It's the basic word for prayer. There's all kinds of prayer. There's private prayer. There's public corporate prayer, right? There's planned prayer, and there's spontaneous prayer. There's prayer with one another, and there's prayer by ourselves, right? There's prayer that has eloquent theological words, and there's prayer that has sighs and groaning and no words. There's intelligent, theologically worded prayers, and there's just simple, help me, Lord, prayer. Sometimes I don't know what to pray. Lord, help me. Prayer. There's a prayer that follows a pattern. Our Lord's prayer has a pattern. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us of our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil, right? That's a form of prayer. I know, I stopped. I know. I did the trespasses. That's my Catholic upbringing. But there's also prayer that has no pattern. There's prayer that is rejoicing prayer, and there's desperate prayer, right? Isaiah says, "Oh, that you would rend the heavens and come down, Lord." There's prayer that says, "Lord, help me. I need your help now." That's actually the petition. You see the word petition there? In all, with all prayer and petition, that word petition means prayer out of urgency. That's the urgent prayer. Those two words are used together in Philippians 4:6, where he says, "Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and petition or supplication." Sometimes they're just general prayer, and then sometimes there's, "Lord, help me now" prayer. That's petition. All kinds of prayers in there. Prayers that when needs come up, we pray. In fact, every time there's a need that comes up, there's an opportunity to pray, right? Sometimes the needs are simple and sometimes they're urgent, but every single time, an opportunity to include God into that situation. He says, we're praying with all prayer. You see that? Praying with all prayer. As I said before, the spiritual armor is one thing, but it's nothing without prayer. And some of us, a lot of us, we have good Orthodox doctrine, don't we? We have good theology, but we're prayerless. The armor needs the empowerment of prayer. It's because the Holy Spirit is directing that. And we'll get to that in a second, right? And then number two, it's the times of prayer. Look what he says here, verse 18. Praying at all times. See that? The times of prayer at all times. We are to always be in communion with God. In fact, that's how man was designed. God goes to the garden to walk with Adam and Eve in the cool of the day. Why? That was probably their practice, to have fellowship with God. And Satan broke that. Isn't it interesting? The place where Satan always attacks is to make you prayerless. Right? You can get busy with all kinds of stuff and not enough time for prayer. Martin Luther said, "I have so much things to do today, I have to spend even more time in prayer." I'm paraphrasing that. That's the place where he attacks, that intimate place of prayer, that holy of holies, of communion with God. We are to always be in communion with Christ. He says, all times. That means the word there is kairos. It means on every occasion, every time, every season. As you pray, as you put on the piece of the armor, you pray. You pray when you feel a great need, you pray. You pray when you feel a little need, you pray. When you are equipped, you pray. When you're worried, you pray. Be anxious for nothing, but by prayer, right? So you're feeling anxious. You're feeling in despair, you pray. Right? When you're feeling overwhelmed, you pray. When you're conducting holy things, you pray. When you're conducting common things, pray. What do you mean common things? Like not religiously sounded, just normal things. You can pray. Right? Washing the dishes, you can pray. Driving your car, you can pray. Pray for everything. Pray in all times. It doesn't have to be in some holy place like, whatever. Right? Get all serious. When you're walking along the Lord, I had a mentor, wonderful man of God. We would go for walks, and we would just pray. We would just pray. Simple. And boy, God used that man tremendously. In fact, Paul says, "Rejoice." Romans 12:2, he says, "Rejoicing in hope, perseverance in tribulation, and devoted to prayer." And then Colossians 4:2, he says, "Devote yourselves to prayer." We need prayer when we need wisdom. We pray. In fact, James says, "Hey, you're going through tribulation and trials. Ask God for wisdom." Great. In fact, that's what Paul prays for the Colossian church. He says in Colossians 1, verse 9 and 10, "For this reason also, since the day we heard of it, we have not ceased to pray for you and to ask that you be filled with the knowledge of his will and all spiritual wisdom and understanding, so that you will walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, to please him in all respects, bearing good fruit in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God." We need wisdom and clarity. on every occasion. We pray without ceasing, right? In fact, Paul lived his life that way. Jesus was God, and yet he found time to break away and spend time with the Father. Paul prays for various churches in Romans. He writes to them. He talks about how he unceasingly makes mention of them in his prayers. In Philippians, he offers prayers for all of them. In Colossians, he prays always. In the Thessalonians, he tells us to pray without ceasing. In fact, in Ephesians, he's already indicated a couple times where he has prayed for them. Go to Ephesians 1. I'm just going to, okay. Do I want to do that? Sure, why not? Like Ephesians 1, look at this. Verse 15, check this out. For this reason, I too, having heard of the faith in the Lord Jesus, which exists among you, and your love for all the saints, do not cease giving thanks for you while making mention of you in my prayers. And he says, here's what I'm praying, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you the spirit of wisdom and of revelation in the full knowledge of him, that God would give you insight into Christ. And he goes on from there. He prays in chapter 3 as well. Look at chapter 3, verse 14. He says, for this reason, I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth is named, that he would give you, according to the riches of his glory, here's his prayer, to be strengthened with power through his spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you would be firmly rooted and grounded in love. And he goes on from there. So he's finishing up this book with prayer, isn't he? Praying at all times implies, of course, we recognize our need, recognize our need of God, and that God has to come through. It recognizes that we have a hunger and a thirst to know God. The more you pray, the more you're satisfied, but the more you're thirsty for more. Right? You get wet, your appetite's wet, and you're like, I want to spend more time with the Lord because I'm beginning to like this. Right? You go to Costco and he takes all the samples, you know, like, oh, I got a little sample here. Let me buy this, you know, and they tempt you with all those samples. Prayer, it's meant to encourage that. Right? So, and I just want to say, prayer can be simple. Right? It's the loving Father who just says, come here, my child. You know? And his ears are always open. I mean, if he sees a sparrow that falls, he knows when that sparrow, he's aware of us, right? Why is it that the enemy so does not want us to pray? Because he knows a praying Christian is a dangerous Christian. A praying Christian who knows his God and knows Jesus Christ, who walks in the power of the Holy Spirit, is dangerous to him. Not because of him himself, because God walks with him. Because he understands, hey, I'm just a little sheep, and my shepherd's right next to me. Right? And what a delight it is to know God through prayer, through constant communion of prayer. In fact, when we pray, you know, notice when you pray at all times, you start praying, you start praying for other people. Many times when you come into prayer, it's all about you, right? Sometimes it's a lot of things you're wrong with. But after time of pray for whoever's on the roof, and pray that they're safe. But the more time you spend in prayer, the more time your mind and you're starting to pray for other people. You're considering their needs and their issues. That's where the Lord is taking over in one sense, right? I mean, Paul says that in 1 Thessalonians 3:9. He says, night and day we keep praying most earnestly that we would see your face and complete what was lacking your faith. Now, prayer, this is all about this constant communion with God and with intimacy with the Lord Jesus Christ and with the Father. Jesus said, this is eternal life, that they may know you, the one true God, right? And Jesus Christ, whom sent. That's eternal life. That's the goal of prayer, right? Now let's look thirdly at the manner of prayer. And this is where I'm going to spend a significant amount of time. Verse 18 again. You know, look, in the Spirit. Now, you know, he could have, look at, look, he said, verse 18, he says, praying at all times with all prayer and petition in the Spirit. You know, he could have left that out, and I would have been, okay, I'll pray at all times and all seasons and all situations and all kinds of prayers. But he adds that phrase in the Spirit, and that, like, okay, Paul, why? What do you mean? What does this mean to pray in the Spirit? Let's get technical here. It means to be in the sphere of the Spirit, to be directed and empowered by the Spirit, to be prompted and guided by the Spirit. It's the word in pneumati, which is in the Spirit, means the Spirit's guidance and direction to help us in our prayer. You know? Or it could be understood as being by the Spirit. It's this, it's as Paul says in Romans, that the Spirit intercedes with us for us with groanings too deep for words. Right? He says, in the same way, the Spirit also helps our weaknesses, and for we do not know how to pray as we should, though the Holy Spirit himself intercedes for us. Amen. Right? Amen. It is similar to what Paul says in Philippians 3:3. He says, for we are the true circumcision who worship in the Spirit of God and in glory in Jesus Christ, but put no confidence in the flesh. Amen. See, sometimes there's a praying in the flesh, and then there's a praying in the Spirit.
That's right.
Okay? It says, Jude says in verse 20, he says, build yourself up in the most holy faith, praying in the Spirit. It's prayer that is empowered by the Holy Spirit. In fact, verse 19 of here in Ephesians, he says, pray for my behalf as well. But wait, you're the Apostle Paul. You saw Jesus and all this kind of stuff. No, I need prayer too. In fact, Paul, you need prayer to even be given the words of the gospel, what to say. Yeah, I need words to be given to me. I need words to be. Why? Because if you are judging Paul based on the flesh, you'll say, Paul, you have it all. You don't need anything else. You're an apostle. You saw Jesus. What else is there to do? Paul says, no. I need the Holy Spirit's help to pray. All right? Let me tell you what praying in the Spirit does not mean. Then I'll get back to what it really does mean, okay? Praying in the Spirit does not mean that you're emotional necessarily. Being emotional in your prayer doesn't mean you're praying in the Spirit. I know people who pray that way because they're trying to giddy up the Holy Spirit, right? They're trying to make things happen. They're trying to do that. That's not praying in the Spirit. Now, it does not mean that people who pray in the Spirit aren't emotional. But that's the effect, right? Some people approach it like it's the cause. It's the 400 some odd prophets of Baal before Elijah. And what do? They cut themselves, they dance, they're like, oh, Baal, hear us, oh, hear us, you know, and they're chaotic. They think that their emotionalism is helping their God hear them. That's not praying in the Spirit. Now, can some people become emotional? Of course. But don't let it be, it doesn't drive you to it, it's the effect of it. Does that make sense?
Yes.
I mean, here's what praying in the Spirit does not mean. All believers have the Holy Spirit dwelling in them. Okay? But not everyone who has the Holy Spirit in them is praying in the Spirit. Just because you have the Spirit of God in you doesn't mean that you're praying in the Spirit. John says in Revelation, he says, watch this, John 1:10, he says, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day, and I heard from behind me a loud voice. He's talking about his vision. The point here is there's a particular day, this happens to be the Lord's day, and he was in the Spirit. There are people, Christians, who have the Holy Spirit in them that never pray in the Spirit. Because there's a distinction. Because praying in the Spirit is prayer that is fueled, directed, empowered by the Holy Spirit. praying in the Spirit does not mean that you use a lot of words or vain repetition or repeat the same phrase over and over and over and over again until, I don't know, what? In my day, we had record players. They would move that needle. It does not mean that. Now, sometimes you could say, Lord, help me, Lord, help me, Lord, help me. And that's a genuine prayer. And that's but some people think, well, if I use this phrase over and over again, you know what I'm saying? Like it's a magical spell or technique to twist God's arm to now get me praying in the Spirit. It's not that. Your prayers aren't heard because of the words or necessarily the repetitions of... No, it's different. And praying in the Spirit, of course, is it's not manipulation. You cannot manipulate the Holy Spirit. He's God. Let's just put that way. He's not a servant. He's God. You cannot... So praying in the Spirit doesn't mean you are twisting God's arm and forcing Him into... Like he's a genie that you're rubbing and say, I do as I command. That's not praying the Spirit. In fact, praying in the Spirit is not... Okay, let me put it this way. The goal of praying the Spirit is not a particular experience in and of itself. The goal of praying the Spirit is intimacy with God. Of being in fellowship with God, being in communion with God. Right? Jesus Christ invites the believer to the same fellowship that he and the Father had. He invites us to that intimate relationship. Your goal is not to get to a certain, I don't know, ecstasy or ecstatic experience. It is intimacy with the Lord where God is honored. Praying in the Spirit is not a way for us to get what we want and to control God and to dictate to God how things should go. Now, sometimes, let's be honest, when we come to prayer, we come with that attitude, don't we? he hears us, doesn't he? He understands. And sometimes we come like, Lord, fix this person and change that person. And that person bugs me. And that person do this. And that, and how come? And God's like, okay, my child. You know? In Jesus' name, amen. See you later, God. That's not praying in the Spirit. Not for us. It's not a way for us to get our way and for the Holy Spirit to yield to us, to be our servant. No. You ever notice, I've been to prayer meetings where, I mean, and godly Christian people were praying, people are taking turns praying, and then there's this one brother or one sister that comes and just, and they pray, and it's not necessarily eloquent or all, it's not even like, oh, thank you, Lord, I'm so great. It's just a simple prayer and something changes. You sense there's a, okay, this person's praying. I feel like we're in God's presence right now, even though God's with us always, according to Scripture, right? But there's a change, you become aware of something different. I can't explain it. Right? There's a discernment of, there's an awareness, like, okay, there's a settledness. And when you are in God's presence, there's awareness, first of all, is holiness of your own sinfulness and unworthiness. But there's also awareness of Jesus Christ's blood and grace to allow you to be in there. Right? There's a holy moment, right? And now it shifts from becoming about you and your problems, which are good, but there's a shift now to, okay, my attention is now on God. And when I see God, I'm like Isaiah, and I see he sees him high and lifted up, and he realizes I'm unclean. But yet God makes atonement for, he says, here, this is touch your lips, now you can, you know, and I'm going to send you. That's, does that make sense? So that's a lot of what praying in the Spirit, what does not. Here's what it does mean. And I think this is something I've repeated. It means that it's prayer that is empowered by the Holy Spirit. Praying in the Spirit is more than just praying with your mind, although you do pray intellectually smart. Our prayers shouldn't just be vain repetition and mindless. We are to love the Lord our God with our whole heart, soul, mind, and strength, right? That's why oftentimes you don't want to pray. Go to the Psalms and pray the Psalms. Lord, here's some good words to pray, and they're your words. I'm going to pray them back to you. Praying in the Spirit, it's not emptying your mind either. That's dangerous. That's for New Age and all kinds of nonsense. No, it's no emptying your mind. Fill your mind with the Word of God. Meditate on the Word of God. Memorize the Word of God and pray the Word of God back to Him. That's what praying the Spirit is all about. Praying in the Spirit, of course, is the Holy Spirit directing our prayer. He's creating the power. He's empowering the prayer. He's making it effective. He is directing us. He is the Alpha and Omega of that prayer time. Praying the Spirit means praying without pretense. It means praying in the sense that we lay hold of God, that we reach out for His garment. We say, help, Lord. When we pray in the Spirit, He sort of clears the path. We understand that we have needs before God, but when we pray in the Spirit, there's a shift that happens where that's lifted and our attention is before a holy God. And suddenly, our problems that we thought were so big and impossible, we see a holy God and a good and righteous and good, just God, realize our problems are nothing compared. We still have our problems, but we realize our God is greater. So there's something that happens. Our faith is lifted. Right? Have I lost you guys? You guys are deep thinking? Okay, just making sure. Just checking in. You know, I don't know what you guys see or hear, but that's the Lord. When the Holy Spirit leads us to pray in the Spirit, He gives us the words to say. He gives us the insight. He gives us the freedom rather than a restriction. Now, I got to say this, because there's prayer that starts off sometimes as a drudgery. And you kind of, you've been in the presence of God. You've been in time prayer. It just feels like you're just, boy, you're just working hard, right? You're just, and nothing's happening, right? Keep going. Keep going. Because there's a transition that happens. It's like, how do you guys like to hike? Okay, nobody. Okay. We have no hikers in here. A few of my friends in the back, right? But let's say you had to go hike. You want to start hiking Camelback Mountain. That's or Squaw Peak or one of those places, right? Your first time out there. I mean, it's work, isn't it? Yeah. You're barely making it to the top. You're sweating, and you're like, oh, I hope I brought enough water, and I'll call 911 if I don't make it halfway, you know? And you make it to the top. And you come back, and you keep doing that over time, over time, over time, over time. And what months before was hard work, there's a transition to like, oh, I can do this. Not you in your own strength, but I'm talking in prayer, the transition from praying out of the flesh, praying out of your own strength, to now somehow you're being carried in one sense, or you've adjusted, you've acclimated, you've become conditioned, right? And that transition's easier. And when you pray in the Spirit, it's almost like things are cleared out of the way. Does that make sense? The obstacles, because and there's a freedom of entering to His presence. We know theologically and correctly by the Word, when we pray, we enter His throne. But there's the sense when you're praying, you pray in the Spirit, now there's something that happens where you're like, I feel like I'm not praying. Like these words aren't from me. They're from God. And somehow they're coming to my mind and I'm praying them. But I know I would never thought of these kind of prayers or this thought or these. You know what I'm saying? And somehow the Holy Spirit takes over. He still uses you because you're the one that's praying. But now He's now empowering that. And He's Does that make sense? And prayer transforms from a drudgery to a joy. God supplies, the Holy Spirit supplies the words, the eloquence, not our eloquence, not our words, but His. And I don't know about you, but there's times when I'm in prayer, as I'm praying, this is really cool. I'm praying, I've studied God's word, all that, but I'm praying over it. I start praying insights I've never thought of before. Like literally, I start praying and out of my mouth comes some sort of truth. And I have to write it down. Like, where'd that come from, you know? The Holy Spirit's giving me that to pray to God and realize, oh, there's a truth there. Right? That's praying in the Spirit, and there's a communion that happens. And praying in the Spirit has the ability to transform our prayer that is maybe dry and lifeless to and ineffective to say a prayer that is fully surrendered to God. Lifting our hearts and souls and minds to heaven. And the heaviness that was there before is lifted, and our heart is reminded of the greatness and goodness of God as we behold Him. And suddenly, the attention is less about ourselves. It's all on God. You deserve the glory, right? Interesting. Jesus points out with the man who beats himself like this, "Be merciful to me, a sinner," right? He couldn't even lift up his head. And here's a Pharisee, "Oh, Lord, I'm so thankful. You should be lucky to have me. I'm so good. I fast, I tithe, I do follow the law," right? And Jesus says, that man prayed. That man went home justified. And that man, he's just filling the air with, because all is all about him. Right? And here this guy doesn't even feel worthy to come in the presence of God. He feels so aware of his sin. He goes, "God, be merciful." That's a prayer. Jesus says, "I hear that prayer. Forget the eloquence. Give me the guy who has a real heart, right? Who's honest, who doesn't come with me with pretense and showmanship and say, and try to impress me with his, what? With his righteousness." Praying in the Spirit is a realm of prayer in one sense. It's the prayer of the desperate, the prayer of the surrendered, the prayer of the broken. It's not the prayer of those who are trying to impress or are easily embarrassed. It's the prayer of a child to their father, and a child to their daddy has, it's just, "You're my daddy, and I'm coming, and I want to," you know, they don't worry about all the, it's innocent, it's simple. It's not convoluted. Sometimes we convolute our prayers and we feel like we have to go through all this. Just strip that all the way. Say, "Lord, direct my prayer. I'm here. I'll spend here as long as I can till I sense that there's a, to the sense where I'm not praying in one sense by myself, where I feel like I got the Holy Spirit praying with me." Praying in the Spirit is that which is surrendered completely to God, desperate for God, laying hold of God, saying, "God, it's the one who's, it's the, as the psalmist says, the thirst, the soul that says, as the pant, the deer pants for the water, so my soul pant, it thirsts for you, God." That's what it is. It's laying hold of God in prayer, like the woman who's been bleeding for 12 years and says, "If I just grab the hem of his garment," right? That's praying in the Spirit. It's that which waits on God, waits on the Lord. We don't like waiting, do we? We live in America. Everything's instant. Do you know one of the main themes that's repeated in Scripture is the word patience? We have to wait. We can't dictate to God when things should happen. So we wait. We wait on the Lord, His timing, right? Praying in the Spirit is an overflow and outworking of our relationship with God. Let me just address one thing, though. What about what Paul says in 1 Corinthians? 1 Corinthians 14. What about praying the Spirit in 1 Corinthians? Which I'm going to go on this next week, but I'll just kind of give you a preview. Look at 1 Corinthians 14. Is everyone with me?
Yes.
Okay. Now, this is a different context, a different book, so I'll explain that next week, but I just want to point something out. Some pray in the Spirit in different ways. And here in 1 Corinthians 14, he's addressing this church that was into the spiritual gifts. And he says in verse 14, if I pray in a tongue, my spirit prays, but my mind is unfruitful. What is the outcome then? I will pray with the Spirit. In this context, it's referring to praying in tongues. In Ephesians, it's not. Okay, because he's addressing a different situation in a Corinthian church. But in the Corinthian church, he's saying, if I pray with the Spirit, in this case, it's praying with tongues, and I pray with my mind, that's praying in his normal language, like English or Greek or whatever, you know. If I sing with the Spirit, and I sing with my mind. So sometimes people pray in a heavenly language, that's their prayer language, in private, before the Lord, and they don't know what they're saying, but God knows what they're saying, right? So all prayer in the Spirit is directed and empowered by God, by the Holy Spirit, but not all prayer in the Spirit is tongues. In fact, Paul says in 1 Corinthians 12:30, go back a page, 1 Corinthians 12:30, he says, do all have gifts of healing? Do all speak in tongues? Do all translate? No, they don't. So some people pray in the Spirit by speaking in tongues, and some people don't. The goal, though, is not what the manifestation looks like. The goal, of course, is intimacy with Jesus Christ, with a heart that is dependent on the Lord. Okay? Now, what does this all have to do with? I'll get back to this next week. Go back to Ephesians 6. This is why Paul brings this at the end with the armor of God. He says, unless the Holy Spirit is directing and empowering your life, whether it's putting on the armor of how you live and how you pray, it is powerless. And the one person that can defeat the devil in your trials and tribulations is God. You rush into battle armed and ready to go without the Spirit of God enabling you and helping you. You're like Israel going to battle when God says, I'm not going to go with you.
That's right.
You can't go presumptuously. The most important person in the whole thing is your captain who has to go before you. You don't go ahead of him. He goes ahead of you. And for you to rush in without knowing that the Holy Spirit's leading you and guiding your prayer, you're powerless. And so your job then is to be equipped through prayer, and you wait on God and let the Lord lead you and equip you and empower you to then begin pray those things that he tells you to pray. And suddenly he says, ah, I hear you, my child. It's God the Father hearing God the Holy Spirit praying through you. You see that? He says, I hear that. Okay, now we're talking here. Now how do we do that? How do we get to that place? It takes time, doesn't it? It takes patience. It takes determination. It takes a heart of waiting. It takes a heart of diligence, of honesty, of simplicity. Sometimes we don't get to the place where we feel like we really prayed. So get what you do. You keep praying. You keep waiting. And you say to the Lord, I'm... And sometimes it's at the very end, like, okay, something's happened here. Does that make sense? Is this okay? We pray through until our hearts are settled, until all the stuff that we thought was necessary is put to the side. We pray through until we get to the place where our heart is settled and we're willing to listen, and we say, speak, Lord, for your servant is listening. Now I hear you. And that's when God begins to give you the insights and the truth, the illumination. He begins to move in your heart and address your needs and purify what you wanted to say. And sometimes he leads you into a heart of a prayer of worship, just where you just worship God. And before you know, what you thought you were going to go in there in your prayer closet for 5-10 minutes ends up to be an hour and a half. And you're like, where did the time go? Let's do this again, God. I enjoy this, you know. Before you know it, you're like, but here's the thing. Every single day, now here's a, it's a discipline. It's your choice. It's your choice. It's a discipline. It's your choice to say, wake up in the morning. I mean, pray in the shower. Pray in the car. Pray anywhere. Have this constant conversation with the Lord. People might think you're weird. But you'll be like Enoch. You'll be with God, and God will say, come on up here. Right? There's my daughter. I just was talking to you. That's the whole goal of it all, isn't it? All right? That's what he means there. Let's pray. Lord, we just want to thank you for... Boy, what a privilege it is to be invited into that kind of relationship, Lord, where we're your child, and because of Jesus Christ, we have this access into the throne room. We have been given a wonderful gift in the Holy Spirit. You've given us your word. You said, abide in my word. You've also given us your Holy Spirit. Lord, help us to be people of the Word and people of your Spirit, and lead us, Lord. Maybe there's some here, Lord, that they don't even know where to begin with prayer. Lord, I pray just you would lead them in that process of just coming to you in simple conversation, simple realization that you want to hear from us, that you delight to hear from us. Lord, I pray, Lord, if there's hurdles or obstacles in some of our maybe our approach to you, maybe there's things that have happened in their lives that have, maybe something they're holding against you, or they're mad or upset, or there's misunderstanding, Lord, would you remove those hurdles and obstacles, and may we hear what the Spirit says. May we hear you calling. May we discern that it's you calling us to a close walk in relationship with you, Lord. Lord, I pray your blessing on each person here, and blessing on those who are watching, Lord, that you invite us into that. And it's only possible because of Jesus Christ. Only possible because his blood was shed on the cross for our sins. It's only possible because of what he's done. And so, Lord, we just thank you. We praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Why don't we stand up? Well, I'm going to bless you guys with a different benediction. The writer of Hebrews says, now the God of peace, who brought up from the dead the great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the eternal covenant, our Lord Jesus, equip you in every good thing to do his will, by doing in us what is pleasing in his sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be the glory forever and ever. Amen. God bless you guys. Be in prayer for our church, our move, and just continue to encourage one another, and have a wonderful day and wonderful week. God bless you guys. We'll see you.